This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's October 27th, episode 1028, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
So, Jamie, I had a minor heart attack when I got up this morning and I opened my news feed, and the first story I see is equine rescued from pool after horseplay at suburban Phoenix home. And
I thought,
oh, man, Jamie, one of our horses fell in the pool and we're going to have all kinds of stories this morning. And then I read and it was not your house. So
it's definitely not my house. Remember, Glenn, because we had the baby, we had to put up a little fence around the pool. So it's double fence now. So
does not stop that jumping Edward from jumping the fence right into the pool.
You know, he's the one that's amazing at opening gates. And you think that I have these herding dogs and they would let me know when something was going on out back. But Edward actually on Saturday let himself out of his stall, the backside of the stall, went around, came out of, let himself out of another gate, and when I looked outside, he was standing in my backyard grazing, which is completely not allowed, according to Chad, because there's sprinklers or whatever. So it's funny you mentioned that, because he was literally 10 feet from the pool, but we got that little fence, and Edward doesn't prefer to jump anything if he doesn't have to, so he was just happy to eat grass.
Well, I did think of you, and I immediately panicked. And then it's funny. The first thing I thought of, oh, no. The second thing I thought of is, oh, great story for the radio show today.
I'm a giver.
I know.
Embarrassing
you
stuff
are.
Happens, and I just tell you guys all about it. That's fantastic. So, yeah.
So you were
not
that
my
girl
house.
This weekend? Okay. I can't play that girl music then because you were not that girl.
No.
Well, we tried.
But, you almost became that girl. Just kidding. You almost made me that girl. When I realized this morning that there was a bunch of stuff that you left out of these, well, when we're talking here, I don't memorize what episode number it is. Glenn just types it, and a lot of times whatever he types is what I say, and he gets me all the time and tricks me into saying things. But there was no information, Glenn. What's going on? Are you with us this morning?
I'm a little sleepy this morning. I actually stayed up and watched Saving Private Ryan for about the 80th time last night, and it was like midnight till I went to bed. And you know me, I usually go to bed at 9:30, so I was a little sleepy.
Did you cry? Do you cry when you watch that movie?
Every single time at the very end when he's standing there at the tomb, it's like, oh my God, I got the tissues out.
You know, Chad has lost, since I've known him, one of his grandparents, his uncle, we had a baby. That, you know, you're standing there and they hand your baby to you, like, it's a boy. And man did not shed a stinking tear. Nothing. Never seen the man cry. And then he watches Saving Private Ryan, and it bawled every time. I'm like, really? You can't cry when you're handed a new life that we just created, but you cry when the old man's standing at the tomb? Seriously?
I got to tell you, though, if you're not crying, you aren't human at the end of that movie. I mean, you just aren't human.
So, but this is a good question for Facebook. What is the one silly movie that you always cry at? Because on TV this weekend, and it's so stupid, and it's so embarrassing. But, like, there's always a moment that I cry almost in every movie, be it Pixar movies, whatever. I always cry. And the movie Groundhog Day was on Saturday.
How can you cry during Groundhog Day?
Right? Exactly. It's so stupid. But when the old
Don't
man...
Don't tell me you're crying because he's blowing up the groundhog.
No, that part didn't make me cry. It's the part with the old man. He's a homeless guy, and he walks. He sees him, and he finally starts feeding him, and he takes him to the hospital when he's sick, and the lady's like, he died. And he's like, well, why did he die? Sometimes old people die. He's like, not today. And then he, like, goes on, and you can see him give him CPR. And, oh, God, the whole saga with the old man. And So what's the silly movie you guys cry at? Seriously. I was a mess.
I don't cry at too many movies. I think Private Ryan is one of. I know I don't cry at too many movies. But that is a good question. What? Let's just leave it. Let's open it up and just say, what movie makes you cry every time? There's the question, Jason.
Yeah.
Movie makes you cry every time? And you can use mine as an example. Glenn cries at Saving Private Ryan. Apparently, Chad does too. Big tough fire.
I cried in Home Alone, and we were watching it in the theater. My brother's like, are you crying? Like, stands up in the theater.
Why would you cry in Home Alone?
When the kids come, see, it's an old man thing. Like, I just love to miss my grandpa. Like, when the kids come home to the neighbor next door, and Kevin, the blonde one, and sees them. Oh, yeah, that part gets me every time. But I've not cried in stupid things, but I also cry in good things, like Saving Private.
That's one of the I'll watch the first of one of those, Home Alone. The first Home Alone, I think we've seen it every year since it's come out at Christmas time, because I just love that movie. But the others just didn't hold up. So we watched the first one.
I haven't even seen any others, so. But whatever, you know. Got to do what you got to do. Yeah, let's see that. Now, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? She's on mute.
I'm on mute, that's right, and I can't get myself off of mute anymore because a freaking Blog Talk changed the setup.
Ooh,
on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, breaking from the gate, we welcome Miss Connecticut and the gal behind Racing for Home, Acacia Courtney. And then coming into the turn, it's time to commit to your Breeders' Cup favorites. So we have borrowed Richard the Mig Migliori from the folks over at HRTV to provide some legitimacy to the conversation. And in the home stretch, the wacky world of Horse Nation is coming on strong. So stay tuned till the exciting finish, folks.
Because legitimacy is not something you're going to get from any of the hosts on this show.
Amen, brother.
For that. Jennifer, you're up first today in a twist.
My daily Winnie goes out to listener and new buddy in Florida, Denise Raymond, who came over to the farm yesterday, dragged her horse all the way down here on a Sunday morning, and we went for a day-long trail ride out and about the neighborhood, and I showed her all the nooks and crannies and fun palm fronds here in the hood, and her horse Patootie, who has her picture now posted on our Facebook page, has the cutest ears ever.
and the most spots ever. That is one spotted horse.
Very spotty, yeah.
Yes, very spotty. But you guys seem to have a good time. I was going to go along. Well, we'll talk about why I didn't here in a minute. We got to do some other daily winnies first. Jamie, have you ever gotten a lottery ticket as a gift for your birthday or for some other occasion?
Yeah, every once in a while I've been given, scratch-off tickets or something.
Yeah. And I think, I actually worked for a company one time that part of the sales incentive for the annual meeting was if you sold so much, you got lottery ticket for each certain amount you sold. So they I went with the boss the one day before the annual meeting where I had to go buy them, and it was literally almost $2,000 worth of lottery ticket scratch-offs. And we would hand them out, and some guys and their families would have 100, and they'd sit there. And it was a big deal during the party, right? Because it's just so much fun. It's just fun when tons of people are sitting around, and it gets really quiet. Everybody's scratching. And, of course, nobody ever wins anything. You buy $2,000 worth of tickets, and, one guy wins $20. Well,
seriously?
Yeah. We really never had – I think $100 was the most anybody ever won was with $2,000 worth of lottery tickets. But that was not the case over the weekend in Chicago for DC Ocampo, who was celebrating her 19th birthday. And her dad apparently has the tradition of buying her lottery tickets. So he bought her two $20 lottery tickets of the Illinois Lottery scratch-off. And it was the Million Money Mania game, the 100 Million Money Mania game. Well, this girl on her birthday won $4 million.
Oh, my gosh.
At the age of 19. Yeah, so she says she plans on using her winnings to buy a new house for the family and to pursue her dream of completing a degree in nursing. So there you go.
So those are $20 lottery tickets, and she's 19. I'm sorry, at 19, I would have really appreciated $40 from my dad. That would have been awesome.
Right. But she's going to really appreciate $4 million.
Yeah, this is true. It's true.
Yeah. That'll be gone by the time she's 20, you know.
Yeah, at least she's getting a degree. My Daily Winnie, let me just back up and say my husband is home. He has returned from his whirlwind trip to San Francisco, California, where he decided to spend the month's mortgage on buying a freaking ticket to a baseball game. Bless his heart, love him to death, could have used a saddle. But the San Francisco Giants now, Glenn, are up 2 games to the Kansas City Royals. So it's the black and orange team, Glenn, versus the blue and white team. And I just saved you 15 hours of television by giving you that
update. Thank you. So. Thank you, because I really didn't know what was going on. Didn't care, but now I know in 5 seconds what's going on.
Yes, my husband had to get up, leave San Francisco very early. His flight was like 7 a.m. Sunday morning. They didn't plan very well because it was him and his brother that had gone to the game. And my husband rolled home with no voice and probably one of the worst hangovers I've ever seen. Like, he got home, he's like, hey, this is great, love you, miss you, I'm going to bed. So I was like, thanks. This is fun. There you go. Well, San Francisco Giants, all they need to do is win one. So tomorrow night will be hopefully the last game. We'll see.
Well, you would be proud of me because I watched something baseball over the weekend.
Yes,
I did. There was a special on ESPN on the World Series between Oakland and San Francisco. Was that the last time San Francisco was in the World Series? I don't know.
No.
No? Okay. But anyway, it was the Battle of the Bay, and if you remember right, there was an earthquake during that, the Battle of the Bay, and that was the big earthquake in San Francisco, and they had a special on what happened in the stadium. They concentrated on the stadium, and they interviewed the players and all. It was actually a very interesting show, and it didn't show any baseball or spitting or anything, so that was good.
Glenn, I didn't know that your television would actually stop on ESPN, so I'm proud of you for that. That's a big deal. You watched ESPN. That's a sports network. Good job, dude. Fantastic. The only time you'll watch ESPN is the evening after the Kentucky Derby because they replay the race. That's when I choose to watch it anyway.
Yes, that's right. Or we watch ESPN. Sometimes they have the pre-race stuff. So Jennifer will watch that for about 6 hours before the race. So I don't know who's carrying the Breeders' Cup this weekend. Do we know?
That's ESPN Ocho will be carrying. No, Breeders' Cup is always NBC. NBC, okay. Baby.
All right, good. Well, we'll have all the details about times and everything for you come closer to the weekend. Jamie won't care because she'll be there watching in person and will not have to watch the commercials. So that's one way to get out of watching the commercials, Jamie.
But they're all horse commercials. They're good commercials, Glenn. They're horse commercials.
Hey, you know somebody else that's going to the Breeders' Cup is our first guest. And she is also happens to be Miss Connecticut. And her name is Acacia Courtney, and she is a horse girl, and she runs a place called Racing for Home, and we're going to talk to her right now. Hi, Acacia.
Hi, Glenn. How are you? Hi, Jamie. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, girl.
No problem. Hey, you're going to Breeders' Cup. Is this your first one?
Yes, I've actually never been to California before, and my birthday was actually just yesterday. So I've been saying for the past few months, I really just want to go to the Breeders' Cup for my birthday. So I'm so excited, and I just can't wait to be there and actually get to experience it live. Like you were saying, missing out on those commercials is pretty key.
Hey, we have something for you. Hold on.
Okay. Happy birthday. Oh, thank you.
You get
Thank
our happy
you.
Birthday Winnie this morning. Happy birthday, Acacia.
Thank you so much. Thank
now,
you.
Jamie's going to be there too, although she has the seats that when you look at the stands, they would be far, far, far to the right, the very upper corner. I am assuming you have better seats than Jamie.
I'm very, very lucky. I'm actually going to be judging the fashion competition this year, so I am going to be in the trophy room area, so I have excellent seats, which I am very thankful to Breeders' Cup for. So you better be thinking about what fascinators and dresses, shoes, jewelry, the whole nine yards, because I will be there judging.
Oh my gosh. And
maybe you could hold her train or something, or hat. Maybe you could be her assistant, and then you could get closer to the action and maybe even see oars.
Should I just carry around a pillow with her crown and scepter in it and then follow her?
No, no. Right. We have to meet up at some point, Jamie. I'd love to meet you in person.
Well, now, I'm excited that you get to go do that because, you know, that
Thank
is a once-in-a-lifetime
you.
Thing that everybody
yes.
should get to see at some point. Now, let's talk a little bit about, you're a horse girl. When did you start riding?
I started riding when I was about 8, and I did the hunter jumper and dressage circuit growing up, and then I found out that I really liked working hands-on with horses much more. So a few years ago, I was just kind of doing research, and I found out that thoroughbreds, when they're done racing, often end up in a very bad situation and can be sent to slaughter if they're not making money as a racehorse or if they get injured. And when they come off the track, as you know, people often don't want to adopt them because they think that thoroughbreds are hot or they're hard to manage or they just know how to run less than nothing else. So I always say that my organization serves as a kind of middleman between the track and a second career, a second chance for these horses that can do so many other things. So I started that in 2011 with one off-track thoroughbred, and 15 horses later, we're still going.
Well, great. Good for you.
Thank you.
You know how we feel about off-the-track thoroughbreds. We've had several. Jamie has some right now, and we're big advocates for finding them new homes. And, you know, they're not for everybody, but they can be for a lot of people. So, you know, it's terrific that you took that on at such a young age.
Thank you so much.
By the way,
thank you.
We don't know too many horse girls, by the way. We've interviewed probably 3,000 people on this show. We don't know too many horse girls who have done the pageant thing and had time to do that, have had time to do the horse thing, have had time to go to school to do ballet and dance, which I want to ask you about here in a second.
Yes.
How do you fit all that in?
Time management skills. I always say that competing in the Miss America organization made me learn how to prioritize, and I schedule everything down to the minute. I have about 4 different planners and calendars around my house so that I know where I'm supposed to be going, and perhaps more importantly, that other people know where I'm supposed to be going. So I make sure one way or another that I get there. But
she has people.
You learn to fit everything in. My parents and my friends mainly tell me, Acacia, aren't you supposed to be somewhere right now? And I've got to go get there.
Well, we're going to have to take lessons because I'm not very good at time management. I suck, actually. So we're going to have to take lessons on that. You did. You won your title, and now you did the Miss America pageant. How'd you do there?
Yes, I was actually a top 15 semifinalist at Miss America, which was very, very exciting. It was a huge honor to even be there competing among literally our nation's greatest women that have been competing in the Miss America organization and won their state titles. So we were in Atlantic City the second week of September, and being called into the top 15 is a wonderful feeling. You have all your friends and family in the audience, and you know people are watching. So I was really proud to be able to do that, and I'll be still Miss Connecticut until next June, so a lot more things on the to-do list.
Just keeps you all that much busier.
Yes, exactly.
Now, Jamie is partial to your cause, and this is where I tune out, okay? But Jamie's partial to your cause. Tell us about your cause, and then you two can blabber on about it. I'll try and keep quiet.
Okay, perfect. Each contestant in the Miss America organization has a specific platform that she promotes. And mine is called the Monday Campaigns, A Guide to a Healthier World. So I work with Meatless Monday and Move It Monday. And it's really about small little steps that can make a big difference. I've had wonderful support from the Monday Campaigns National Organization that has helped me bring this into schools, bring it to my peers, and also to legislators to get kids especially to start thinking about the way we approach the concept of health at an earlier age. So one day a week, try cutting meat out of your diet. One day a week, take a pledge to exercise a little bit more. And again, it's all those little things that can really add up and maybe even be the catalyst to something that can be a more long-term health initiative.
Now, Glenn, I want to honestly ask you a question. Glenn and Jennifer both. How many meals a day do you eat meat?
At least one. Not every meal?
Okay, so that's, let's say, you're in the 7 to 14 times a week range. That's an awful lot of meat. And I realized how much, because occasionally I'm a vegetarian, but I realized how much meat my husband eats. And I just realized, like, if you're eating meat every meal, three meals a day, that's 21 servings of meat. And, you know, you're eating probably, you know, at least half a pound. And that could be up to, say, 14 to 15 pounds of meat a week that you're consuming. And so we did the Meatless Mondays. I just thought it was clever, and I like, you know, alliteration. So Meatless Monday is a great way to remember it. And so I don't feed him meat on Mondays. Now, he because of me and I'm the cook in the house, and he goes through a lot more meals than just one. But it started with Meatless Monday, trying to get him to understand that there can be meals where you don't have meat. Now he's very fine with it. And we had just a really good pasta last night for dinner. And he understands that not every meal has to have meat, but do you feel like you've made any sort of difference with your Meatless Mondays?
I do. A lot of people seem, like you said, because it's cute, it's fun, it's catchy, and it's also easy. So a lot of people seem to be more attracted to that. I'm also a vegetarian too, but I always get the question, and Jamie, you've probably heard this too, where do you get your protein from? What do you eat? And I like Meatless Monday because it provides so many different alternatives. And they have cookbooks. They have different things that you can do in the kitchen with your kids to just think about food in a different way. And, again, it's more about being conscious. And I have heard a lot of positive feedback, and especially when I do assemblies with kids and the kids get excited about trying something new at the beginning of the week. I always say if you can get one kid to think about it a little bit differently or to say that he's going to try it, then that's a difference right there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's great. I'm looking on Facebook now because there's a list of questions vegetarians get, and it's hilarious because that is the thing. People always say, where do you get your protein? I'm like, am I asking you where you get your vitamins? Like, why are you so concerned about my protein levels? Like, why do you care? But I guess people are curious just because they don't, they're not used to people living like that, I guess. But you can certainly get plenty of protein other ways, so it does happen.
Sure. Plenty of fun things to try in the kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's cool. Jennifer, our producer, just typed to me that chocolate chip cookies are meatless. So she says dinner tonight, Glenn, is taken care of. So.
Oh, yes. I am a big fan of those chocolate chip cookies.
All right, I have a serious question here to ask you about riding. Now you're a rider. You did the jumper thing and the dressage thing, and you also did dance. So you do all kinds of dance and ballet and all that stuff all along the way while you've been competing here.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people are doing yoga now. A lot of riders, professional riders, are doing yoga. And some, I know, some of the dressage riders have taken up dance because they say it helps improve their balance and their centering. Did you find that dance helped your riding?
Absolutely. So like I said, I started riding when I was about 8. And a lot of my friends had actually started a couple of years earlier, but because I already had posture and a strong core and strong legs from dancing, it actually helped me to progress much faster, even when I first started. And I do yoga. Ballet was my talent at Miss America, so I had a lot of physical training like that, that maybe sometimes if I went a couple weeks without riding because I was so busy, I was always able to bounce right back into it.
Yeah, and I do think that, too, the professional riders I've talked to that have done it really say that it has helped with their balance, especially when in the saddle, to stay centered. Because you're more aware of your core, right, when you're dancing?
Exactly. And also, I do think in dancing, because you're so spatially aware, that helps you as well. I heard a couple times that, like, dressage would be the ballet of riding, because ballet is always like a core center of dancing. That's where a lot of your technique comes from. And even if you're a different style dancer, if you like to do jazz or tap or whatever it is, you can always take ballet for that center and that core. And I do think that helps in so many other things, riding included.
Well, now, before we run out of time, tell us, do you have a pick? Do you have a horse you're looking at this weekend? Is California Chrome a favorite, or is there another one?
California Chrome will always be a favorite. I actually got to be at both the Preakness and the Belmont this year, which was very exciting. And I'm friends with his jockey, Victor Espinoza, so I might be a little bit biased, but I do love the horse. I'm also a big Golden Sense fan. He's not running in the Classic this year, but I'm very emotionally attached to those two horses, and we'll be cheering for them.
Very good. Well, you have a terrific time out there in California.
Thank you so
much. Have a lot of fun. What's your website? Give everybody your website.
Sure. So you can go on MissCTAmerica.org, and you can find me on Facebook, Miss Connecticut 2014 Acacia Courtney, or on Instagram and Twitter at MissCT2014.
Very good. Thank you, Acacia. We appreciate
you
being here. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for having me on. You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. You make sure to say hi to her. She's going to be judging the. Are you going to be in the beauty contest there, Jamie, with your hat and looking all spiffy?
Oh, absolutely. I would miss a chance to get judged on my appearance. I mean, God. Absolutely. Especially to have people like that have been in the Miss America pageant to judge me on my appearance. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
That would be a boost to your self-esteem. I am certain of it, Jamie. I am certain that would help.
Man, no joke. I'm so excited. I don't know what I'm more excited about, the races or the contest.
Omega Alpha is our title sponsor for today. Omega Alpha Equine is one of our terrific sponsors that have been with us since the beginning, since we started the Horses in the Morning show and before that. They specialize in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. Dr. Chang, the founder, who stops by here once a month, goes to China and other places around the world to pick out the herbs specifically himself and have them shipped back, so he knows he's getting the finest top quality herbs out there. And they started actually doing supplements for people in Canada. And in Canada, the supplements are regulated by their health department. And unlike here, they're actually regulated up there. So they have to be human grade, they have to be top quality, and they have to match all of the tests, all the factory has to be clinically clean, and everything has to be right. Well, they take all of that and bring it over to the horse and the dog side as well. There's lots of people who have who use their products and absolutely love them. I have some here. Jessica Bortner-Harris, who is a very high-level event rider, said one of her favorite products is their Biotic 8, and I know that's one of Jamie's too. And the probiotic has done amazing things to her horses, she says. Combined with good feed, horses will gleam and look healthy. She loves the products. LLG Eventing says she travels with Horse Quencher and the Gastra FX from Omega Alpha Equine. She says her horse is hydrated and his tummy is feeling good. Holly Bennett, you know, we talked about Holly losing the ride on her horse, Gin and Juice. Well, Ginny, her horse that she did have, she said Ginny gets her dose of Omega Alpha Equine electrolytes in preparing for the World Equestrian Games. She uses their electrolytes. And also, there are many, many other testimonials and professional riders and just people like you and I who are using them every day. Here's a lady that uses them on her dog, and she uses the Respifree for her dog because her dog was having breathing issues. So, you know, all of those products, whether it's dogs or horses, you can find on their website at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Be sure to check them out today. Well, I will tell you in a little bit here, Jennifer's getting Meg ready, but I'll tell you in a little bit here why I was not able to drive Scooter over the weekend because we had his first health issue. So I'll talk about that. But first, let's talk more Breeders' Cup.
Absolutely. Well, the Breeders' Cup is coming up this weekend, and we are very lucky. Is Meg ready, Glenn?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Well, let's say good morning to Richard Migliore. The Mig is what he goes by. And, Mig, I was actually doing some research on you on Wikipedia. And, first of all, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Fantastic. I was reading a little bit more about you. First of all, you've won almost 4,500 races. There is a page on Facebook that is clearly created by your biggest stalker who wants you to be picked up for the horse racing, the Race Hall of Fame. Have you gone on that page and seen that?
Yeah, somebody brought my attention to it, and I felt very funny about it, and I actually contacted the people that put it up and asked them to take it down, and they refused.
Really?
Yeah, I think things like that have to happen more organically. I'm not one that thinks you can campaign for something like that. If that's meant to be, it'll be, and if not, I can sleep very soundly at night knowing I did the best I could with the abilities God gave me. So I really do feel kind of funny about that.
No kidding. Well, can I tell people the tiny short little name that they've given this Facebook page?
Oh yeah, I mean you can. Sure, I don't even know exactly what it's called. I just was directed to it and went, oh, I cringe. But
it's very clearly not made by you. So don't worry. I even just looking at it, I was like, oh, he's got nothing to do with this. So don't worry. But the very brief short name is. Let's get Richard the Mig Migliore into the Horse Racing Hall of Fame page. So
it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing.
It's just your stalker, and it's okay. I mean, this person and all the people that are on the page really love and admire you. So take it as a compliment.
You do have to look at it that way, right? I mean, these people care so much that in a way is kind of flattering, in a way.
No, absolutely, and you know, more than anything else, I think if the legacy you can leave behind in any career or any endeavor in life is that you've touched people in a positive way, well, then you've succeeded. So, in to that end, at least I feel like I've succeeded. But you know, when you talk about the Racing Hall of Fame, it's such hallowed ground, and obviously, it would be the ultimate honor. I just go back to this. I just think it's got to happen more organically, and. Like campaigning for it, I don't know, it just seems to almost cheapen the whole thing, but it's not me, so I guess, you know, I am flattered that people think enough of me that they feel that I should be in there.
You know what I'm inspired to do is I'm inspired to start a letter-writing campaign to get Richard the Mig Migliore into the Horse Racing Hall of Fame. Everybody write your letters. I'll post the address. Though. Just kidding. Well, thank you for joining us. I've actually been seeing you on television. I think it was for the Travers. You were on You've been on some major TV now, not just HRTV, but like the actual network television. So congratulations for that. How is that going?
Yeah, thank you. No, it's been going really well. Was fortunate to land the gig for the Jockey Club tour on Fox Sports, and we did 10 shows for them this year. And obviously my duties at New York Racing and then HRTV, and also have stepped up a lot and been doing a lot of racing commentary for Madison Square Garden as well. So it's been extremely busy. It's really good. I'm a little bit out of balance because, you know, when I was done riding, I actually thought I'd have more opportunity to spend time at my farm, and it seems like I'm on the road a lot right now. But it's a jockey's mentality to not let any opportunity get by you.
Absolutely. Well, that's cool. So how's the family?
Everybody's good. Actually, my oldest son is in Australia working at Arrowfield Stud Farm. He's handling stallions and mares. And,
oh, wow.
Which is kind of cool. He came home from college with a degree in business management and said, but I just want to work with horses. So
made you proud.
he spent several months in Ireland, and then he got hired by the Massara family over in Australia. And he's been there for about 5 months now, and he really likes it. And I'm very proud of him. I miss him because it's an awfully long way away. But he's doing well, and he's on his way. And then my other two boys are in college, and my daughter's riding her horses and going to middle school. So we're marching along here.
Congratulations. That's really, really great. To have two sons in college, my parents would have just loved that. So the fact that they're doing well is even better.
my oldest son was the first Migliore of my entire family. It's my, aunts, uncles, grandparents that ever graduated college. So I didn't even finish high school. So, they got a big leg up on me.
Yeah, do as I say, not as I do. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to be at the Breeders' Cup this coming weekend?
Yes, I'm actually already out here. I got here last Thursday and been out in the mornings watching horses train and, getting some good, it's starting to come clear. I don't have, last year I walked out the first day and I saw two or three horses. I went, that horse can't lose, that horse can't lose, that horse can't lose, and they all won. It hasn't been quite that clear yet, but I haven't seen all of the Euros, and a few of those last year with Europeans. But I'm kind of getting a really good feel for everything, and some things are starting to come a little clearer. It's a really wonderful time out here, too, because the buzz of activity and the excitement in the morning, when you walk out onto the apron, you can just feel it. And every day since I got here, it's a little bit more, and I anticipate when I hang up with you guys and head out there, it's even going to be more.
Just going to Santa Anita makes you feel like that, though, Breeders' Cup or not. I mean, just walking, it's like hallowed ground. You know, when you walk up to that winner's circle and you recall that Seabiscuit went to that winner's circle, with Red Pollard, and it's just so historical and so fantastic. And, the statues of all Seabiscuit and Zenyatta and John Henry are just such a really, Glenn, you've got to go because it's such a beautiful place. Just to go hang out. And Meg, I'm going to be there on Saturday. I got my tickets. You won't be able to see me because I'll be in the very farthest right away from the finish line. I'll be in the very far right corner in the very top. But I'm going. And that's all that matters.
Well, if you do shake free, I'm by the HRTV tent right next to the paddock. Please, pop your head and say hi. I would love to put a face to the name. And I'll be there all day on Breeders' Cup Day covering. And, I think you're right, though, about Santa Anita does a really good job of embracing the history. So much so that the facade on the back of the grandstand, if you're looking at it from the paddock, there's really a story told in that facade. And there's even a little bit, and it's kind of hidden, but you can find it, depicting the spill that George Wolfe was killed in the first turn at Santa Anita. It's woven into this almost tapestry, and they really do a good job. And like you're saying, all the great horses that have run there. I think about that at Belmont Park a lot too, with that big oak tree in the paddock. How many champions have walked under that tree? It's if you think about it in those terms, it makes my hair stand up.
I know. Me too. I love it. Well, I'll definitely come by. We'll get a picture together and put it on the Let's Get Richard the Meg Migliore into the Horse Racing Hall of Fame Facebook page. Well, let's talk a little racing because you've been out there watching them. Do you have? We were just talking about Golden Sense with our last guest. Do you have any idea of the Dirt Mile and how that's looking? Because that's one that I like to bet on. We've got Golden Sense, Pants on Fire, Tapiture, Vickers in Trouble. A lot of horses that we, Glenn, that you'll really recognize. Handsome Mike's in there. What are you thinking?
Well, I really think Golden Sense got a big chance to repeat. He trained brilliantly here the other day. I thought his breeze was really, really strong. I'm going to wait until we draw the races today, so we'll know post positions, and that could have a big say in the outcome because you don't break very far from the first turn in the mile races. So as long as he draws a good post, I think he's probably the most likely repeater, I should say. But that's probably the toughest race to pick after him. Like I said, if he gets a good post, I think it's his race to win or lose.
Okay. So Glenn, write that down. Golden Sense.
I got it.
From the mix.
Yep.
these are who we're going to bet on. Now we've got a bunch of filly races, and which fillies are really standing out to you?
Well, I'm waiting to see Dank, who won last year, before I make any judgments about the filly and mare Turf.
She's
really good. Artemis Agritara is doing great for Mike Hutchin for the filly and mare Sprint. But a filly named Stone Tastic worked here yesterday, and I don't know that I've ever been more impressed with a work. I mean, she just stayed in the bridle the entire way, went fast, but kept going fast, and looks like she's really sitting on her best race, and she'd probably be a little bit of a price. So I think Stone Tastic's a horse people have to take a long look at in that race.
Stone-tastic. Okay, and just because I love the name and I really have liked this this filly, how about Henny the Love Penny?
I gotta be honest, I have not really, I can't say that I've clued in and seen her, so I'm not gonna Henny the Love Penny. Wow, that's right up there with Get the Mig in the Hall of Fame. That's
she won her maiden, but apparently it was just a really slow race, but she won, and I'm a little emotionally attached to you, Henny the Love Penny, so I might have to just bet her anyway because her odds are going to be like 30-1. I mean, she's going to have a really good price on her.
Yeah, she's actually training at San Luis Rey, so I haven't seen her yet. She'll probably be in here over the next day or two. As I'm looking down my sheet, because I have papers with every single horse alphabetically, the trainer, the barn, the stall, their works, and then their saddle towel, what they'll be wearing, so you can identify them on the track. The horse just below her, Home Run Kitten, worked the other day, and he's going to run in the downhill turf sprint, and his work was extremely impressive for David Hoffman's, a man I won the downhill sprint for. So I think Home Run Kitten's a horse that people should take a real long look at in the turf sprint, along with Bobby's Kitten, who I've been waiting forever for them to turn him back in distance. So and both of them might be a pretty square price.
That's cool. Okay, got them down. Now, without Wise Dan, which, by the way, I was so excited to be able to see him, and I'm incredibly sad that he's not going to be running, and he's maybe done for quite a while. But Wise Dan's race is now kind of wide open as far as the turf mile goes. Who are you seeing jumping into his spot?
Well, those are big shoes to fill. I don't think anybody can fill them. He's sincerely special. Everybody I talk to from Europe says Toronado is exceptional. And in a year that maybe the Americans are unexceptional, I think we might have to go to look at the European. And he's still in quarantine. I think he'll be out on the track today, so I'll get a better idea of what he looks like. But everybody to a man that I talk to from Europe says that he's going to be extra tough to beat.
Toronado. Now, with quarantine, is there a track that they can train on in quarantine, or are they kind of stuck in a stall? What's the situation with
They let them come out later, and it's only a few days, so I don't think it really interrupts the training enough to make a difference. It just depends on if they're a good shipper or not, and that's the thing I look for with the Europeans. And, you know, they're so good, the trainers over there, of understanding which horses will travel well, which horses will adapt to American racing, which will handle the firmer ground, that I usually kind of make it a non-factor because you're just so good at picking out the ones that will handle all of this. And but I do like to see them on the track just to make sure. You know, it's a lot different for them than the way they train in Europe. There's a lot more horses out there. And some of them do come unglued, but for the most part, those trainers have such a good handle on what their horses can handle temperament-wise.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And it's unbelievable they can fly over here and be very successful as well in the past. But you know what? A $5 million race will make people fly just about anywhere if you got something competitive. So let's get maybe, Meg, of course, we're talking to Richard Migliori from HRTV. And, Meg, give me a couple sweepers. I mean, we've got a lot of big-time favorites that we've talked about. You know, Golden Sense is a huge favorite. Give me some sleepers that maybe we don't know about.
Well, I think the two I gave you in the downhill turf are probably sleepers. I'm looking at the 2-year-old colt race is a phenomenal race, and I thought I saw the best colt in the country in Daredevil in New York, and his stablemate Carpe Diem was very good too. But maybe I'm a bit of a homer, but since I've gotten here, watching American Pharoah train for Bob Baffert, he's an extremely impressive horse. And now these are the three favorites. I'm not giving you any sleepers here. But I really believe that you're going to see a very special race because I think these are three of the better two-year-olds I've seen in an extremely long time. So the juvenile colts are going to be fun to watch.
Gosh, they always are. It seems like, you know, those are the horses that we'll see in the big races next year and in the Triple Crown races. So I always love to watch the juvenile colts, the two-year-old. Oh, so cool.
Yeah, they're really good. Fast Anna in the sprint, he's trained like a beast since he's gotten to California. His work yesterday was scintillating. And I think, you know, he's a horse that'll be a really big price. And I think he's going to run really good. Little Alexis is probably a real long shot in the filly and mare sprint, too, that, you know, people should take a good look at. She's going to be a big price, but I think she's doing really well. It was
little
somebody
Alexis.
Else. Yeah, little Alexis. She looked terrific.
Well, I got to ask you the question that all the listeners want to know. What about California Chrome?
I haven't got to the classic yet, Glenn.
I know, but all the listeners are sitting there going, oh, I don't care about any of these other horses. They want to know about California Chrome.
Well, quickly for the distaff, Close Hatches, I think, will rebound off her bad effort last time. So, if, you know, anybody thinking about throwing Close Hatches out, do so at your own risk. California Chrome looks sensational. And I was looking really hard. I was out here covering races for Fox Sports over the winter when he won the San Felipe. And I think his best races have been at Santa Anita. I think his workout the other day at Los Alamitos was really good. And when he got off the van yesterday, I thought, wow, he's really carrying good weight, which he wasn't carrying after the Preakness. And he looks terrific. So I believe he can rebound. He wouldn't be my top choice because I don't know even if he rebounds and finds his best form that there might not be somebody that's a little better in there. But I think he's going to run his A race. So I think he's definitely going to be heard from.
So who else in the classic? We've got, you know, the horses with the names of Shared Belief, Byron, Tonalist, Cigar Street, Zevo, who I really like Zevo, but and Chad Brown, Majestic Harbor, Candy, but all these horses, which ones are your picks?
Well, I think I'm going to pick Tonalist on top. Now, he hasn't gotten here yet either, so I'm going to reserve that judgment until he gets here. But I really like the way he's developed and he's come on. We know the mile and a quarter is not an issue. And Christopher Clement, everything he's been sending out lately has been extra tough. Just his barn is on fire. So I'm going to probably pick Tonalist on top. Zevo is going to be in my top three because I think he's a horse that – is going to get pace to run at. He was hampered in the Jockey Club Gold Cup by the incident in front of him when Wicked Strong, you know, had his accident. And I think he can be a horse that will be coming on late. And I was probably going to put California Chrome third. But, Shared Belief's a horse that maybe you don't want to leave out. I like him a lot. It's basically going to say who's horse of the year if any one of those big names win it because mm-hmm. – it's so wide open at this point. And unfortunately, Wise Dan didn't do enough this year, in my estimation, to be Horse of the Year. So I think it comes down to the Classic. It's going to settle probably three-year-old championship as well as Horse of the Year.
Now, when we talked about Horse of the Year and you mentioned Wise Dan, do you think that, because I figured if he came back in this race, he's a shoe-in for Horse of the Year, but do you think he did enough to be Turf Horse of the Year?
I don't. I actually think Main Sequence probably has a lock on that in America. He won three grade ones and three of the more prestigious races this year. And sentimentally, and myself being a Wise Dan fan, it would be, you know, tremendous to see him get another eclipse. But I just, you know, with all the issues he had, the colic surgery and now this injury, I just don't think he was able to put together a strong enough campaign to make a case for it. Where Main Sequence, you know, to come to America and be 3-for-3 and three grade ones, regardless of what happens on Saturday, I think he's your Turf Horse of the Year.
Fine, whatever.
All right, I have
well,
a question.
Listen.
I have a question. Who is Rosie riding? Is she riding in the Classic? Because I don't bet on the horse. I bet on the cute jockey. So, that's,
well, then you're betting on Rosie all day because most of these guys aren't too cute. But actually, I'm looking at this right now, and I don't believe she has a Classic mount because Tapiture opted for the mile. I think she's riding him there. And
oh,
I think
that's
that
right. That's
one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'll be betting on her over there. You know, I'm loyal. I'm a stalker. I need to start a Facebook page.
Get Rosie.
get Rosie into the Hall of Fame. I need to
well,
start
she
that
keeps
today.
Going the way she's going. The way she's going, if she continues, she won't need anybody to campaign for her. But.
Now, maybe I have to ask you a question. We always talk about this when it comes to celebrities, and Jamie's met quite a few in her previous life as an actual radio personality. And sometimes she was, you know, had happy meetings with the personality or with the celebrities, and sometimes they were, you know, not what you expected. So please tell me, Rosie is charming and lovely and fun to be around.
Rosie's a really good rider.
Thank you. Yeah, I love him. I am definitely. She is a really good writer. Glenn, you write that down. All right. I'm going to let you go on that because you can't top that. Thank you so much for being a part of the show and for giving me something to think about. I've either got a superfecta or a trifecta for the Classic with Tono Zebo, California Chrome, and Shared Belief. I got to do some homework. I'm going to head down to the paddock and look at all of them and see which one's whispering to me they're going to win. I'm pulling for Chrome, though. Man, he just looks so good going into those the Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont. I just didn't think he was unbeatable. So maybe I got to stick with him, but we'll see. We'll see. Thank you, Meg, for joining us, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, guys. I look forward to meeting you on Saturday. Take care.
Thanks, Meg, even though you crushed me this morning. Just crushed me.
Greatest line on this show ever. Ever. Love you, Meg. Thanks.
Bye,
see you Saturday.
Bye.
Oh my
I am.
Gosh.
I'm crushed. I'm devastated. How can I go on? I couldn't possibly continue. Oh, my God, I hope he doesn't get fired for that at HRTV.
Yeah, I don't think he will. But you know what? I just got a message from one of our listeners, and Robin says that we need to cut that sound clip out and play that a lot more often. I'll leave that to you, Robin. Send
I
me
caught me off
clip.
Guard. I was not expecting that, to be honest.
Oh, my God. That was so great. That was so great. I mean, I don't mean to be a hater. I just like that he's crushed your dreams. That is
he
really
did.
What it comes
he did.
To.
I was devastated. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Oh, let's play the song. Let's give you a little time to get back together here.
This week's EasySignsOnline.com spotlight product is their New England-style farm signs, their most popular line of signs. New England-style farm signs are very durable and designed for long-term outdoor use with no maintenance required, no wood to rot, and no paint to peel. They will outlast the old-style painted wood signs by many, many years. They are available in many sizes, shapes, and styles, which makes them the perfect sign for any farm or business. Go online today and go through the EasySignsOnline.com easy step-by-step ordering process to see all the prices and options available. They also offer free, no-obligation sign proofs on all New England-style signs. And you get free shipping as well on all New England-style signs. So replace your old worn-out sign and make a great first impression with a new farm sign from EasySignsOnline.com. And the holidays are right around the corner, so it's a terrific gift idea. I can't think of a better one. Visit EasySignsOnline.com. Well, that was Settle Down Cinderella by Patti Hall. You can find all of her music at pattihall.com. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings. And Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And we are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, real quick here before we get to Leslie, I got to tell you guys, so Saturday morning, oh, go ahead and play the music, Jamie. Go ahead and play
okay,
it. My little pony. You knew you were going to do it anyway. So I got a scooter story. So scooter story was Saturday morning. I was thinking, I'd take him out for a drive. And then I knew that we had a listener coming out Sunday. I'd go out with the two of them and take the card out and Denise got here on Sunday and said, are we going out in the cart? And I said, no, Scooter has a health problem, his first health problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we go put the harness on him and everything. Jennifer goes, he doesn't seem to like the harness today. And he was flinching and he was making faces and everything. And I said, well, I don't know what's going on. So we were playing around with him, and he did not like his right side touched at all, toward the back,
wow.
You know, belly, hip area. And we're, you know, Jennifer's trying to play around. He really was not liking it. His ears back, ready to bite her in the butt. And we couldn't see anything. There was really nothing visible at that point. So I took the harness off, said, well, I won't be driving him today. And within a half an hour of that, he had developed a big hematoma on the bottom of his belly. So I don't know. We weren't sure at that point if he had gotten kicked, if Beaker had, you know, finally he got sick of the pony just picking on him all the time, and he got kicked, or we didn't know what, or a bug bite. So we just watched it, and it got a little bit bigger, and it, you know, he just did not like you on that side of the body at all. We're trying to decide, should we call the vet? Well, you know, let's just wait because it's not doing. He had no other signs. He was absolutely fine, food wise, and temperature was fine. His eyes looked good. His gums looked. Everything was fine, except for that. So we just waited and waited, and it, you know, it got so big and then stopped. It didn't get any bigger. And then the next morning we looked at it, it had started dissipating or spreading out a little bit. But he still didn't like that side touched at all. I couldn't put a harness on him or anything. So we figure that it must have been a bug bite. That we have, they're called cow ants. And what they are, this great big bug that looks like an ant, and it's red. All three parts, you know how ants sort of have three parts? Well,
yeah.
All three parts are this bright orangish reddish color. They're really ugly looking. And we think that he might have got bit by one of those. The cow, they're called cow killers, actually. They don't actually kill cows, but they give him a nasty bite. And, you know, he lays down a lot. And these guys are actually not an ant. They're a wasp. They're a form of a wasp that's wingless, and you can get a severe reaction if you get bit by one. And we kind of think we've seen some of those around. They're very solitary. They don't go in packs like the fire ants do. And he might have laid down and got bit by one of those on the belly, and that's what caused it. But, yeah, he was in pretty much pain. He didn't want you to deal with that area at all. Let
aww.
Me
know.
So, yeah,
poor
it's
going to
be boo.
Well, it's
so
terrible. Well,
over the weekend.
Well, I'm glad he's better, but yeah, I mean, he was definitely telling you something was wrong, and that's something good you can count on. At least he's going to be like, no, not today. Not today. They won't tell you
that's
what
right.
it is, but they'll tell you something's wrong.
That's right. And he was. He was, then it was, you know, his other side, left side was fine. It was that right side. He did not want it
yeah.
touched at all.
I think Glenn has left out some details, because poor Glenn was having a minor panic for about 2 hours.
My pony
that,
was hurt.
Your pony, well, and it was, because Glenn, the way Glenn gauges the seriousness of any injury or issue with a horse is whether or not I brush him off. Because generally the response to Glenn saying, there's something wrong with my pony, is, it's a long way from his heart, Glenn, he's fine. That's the typical response. But he said, that you're not saying
that.
That. You're not saying that.
That made me worried, as Jennifer was worried. Otherwise,
well, yeah, it was weird, because he would take his the right side of his body where this was when we first noticed it. His whole body would cringe and crunch to the right, and he would like fold himself into a C shape. I'm going, whoa, this is some serious spasmodic colic we've got going on here. This is serious. And he would walk for a couple steps, and he'd kind of trip, and he'd do it again. Oh my God! And at first, that's what I thought. He had a really bad case of spasmodic colic. And then I realized that he only made that shape with his body if you were standing on that side. Wait a minute. There's something going on here. And lo and behold, if we stood on his right side, he didn't do anything. As soon as we'd stand on the left side, as soon as we'd go over to the other side, he thought maybe we were going to touch him. He'd go, ah! It was kind of wild.
See, she had him
yeah.
with colic. I had him with EPM or West Nile and dying
yeah,
in 10 Glenn, minutes.
Yeah, sure that
yeah,
Pony Scooter
I,
had developed EPM
had
in 40 minutes. Yeah.
I literally, when you were saying all that, I was thinking it was EPM. I'm like, that sounds like EPM. Like, not able to walk, curling around into a C shape. Like,
See, I've done this show way too long and listened to too many of those health segments. I was going through my mind all 1,000 episodes of things that it could be. And it's like, God, it's going to die within 10 minutes. That won't even be here. It'll be dead on the ground.
That's hilarious.
Oh, anyway, let's do this.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
And of course, that is that time of the week when we bring on Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation to talk about all the crazy things she's been up to in the previous week. Hey, Leslie.
Good morning.
Did you hear about my pony? I thought he was going to die.
I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad he's not going to die.
Yes, I don't. Now Jennifer is saying today, she's saying, well, it's a long way from his heart. So I'm getting that today. So I think we're okay.
Heartless. She's heartless,
yes,
that woman.
She is.
Mean woman. We'll let you call a vet for your little pony. I mean, geez. Hold on 1 second, just because I said it.
My little pony.
There you go. Carry on. Hi, Leslie.
Hi.
I got a message in the middle of last week from a certain Jamie Jennings, and it said, it was on Facebook, and it said, "This is what I go through, Glenn the Geek," and it was in relation to a certain article that you did last week, because Jamie is vertically challenged, and as I think you are, Leslie, you're both vertically challenged.
Yes.
And,
Jamie's
5'1" or 5'2" and 0.1. Is it 5'2.1 hands, Jamie? Is that what you are?
I am almost 5'3", Glenn. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry. It's
almost.
Leslie that was 5'1". What are you, Leslie? You're 5'2"?
Yeah, Jamie's got me beat. I'm 5'5". Every half inch counts when you're vertically challenged, so.
Does that say you're like 13.4 hands? Like, what is 5'1.5"?
5 feet and 1/2 inch.
Okay.
That
makes more sense.
And you know what's funny about the host here on the Horse Radio Network is Wendy's about 5'3", and Helena's, she's very proud to say she's 5'2.75". So, so we got a whole bunch of vertically challenged hosts here, and you wrote an article about them.
Yeah, well, we have been at war a little bit here in the Horse Nation this past week. It all started when one of our writers, Kristen Kovach, wrote a post called 7 Problems Only Tall Riders Will Understand. Kristen is about 6 feet tall. She's a primarily Western rider, so she's oftentimes riding, 15-hand horses. And so she felt like she's had some challenges to overcome. And I had to write up a rebuttal because I think that short riders have it much harder than tall riders. I have only the slightest amount of sympathy for tall riders. You can't find any breeches that fit your long, skinny legs. That must be so hard for you.
You know what? No. I have 4 tall friends. It's like I only hang out with tall people, and just makes me, first of all, I feel like a kid around all of them, even though I'm probably older than all of them. But they all had babies, and they're all super skinny again, and it's total crap. They're like wearing stretchy pants, and they look amazing. It's like the same thing with riding pants. It's just not fair that they put on these tall boots. They're called tall boots, people. Figure it out. Tall boots and breeches, they're not made for little people.
No, and the pain of having a tall boot stabbing into the back of your knee until you break it in enough. I mean, tall people will never experience that sort of agony.
These are hashtag first world problems right here. First world problems. But you know what? They're problems nonetheless.
Yeah. Totally, totally so.
Although, to our defense, we hit our heads on things that you guys don't even think about hitting your head on. You know, trees in the woods, stuff like that. I mean, you don't even duck. You're just going like, whoops, right underneath. We're smacking our heads.
Yeah, small.
Do you, feel any sympathy coming from us right now? You're on an island right now, Glenn.
By the way, I agree with you guys. I think you vertically challenged people have more challenges. I mean, you can't even get a glass out of the second shelf cabinet in the kitchen without a stool.
Yeah.
We have a stool in my trailer because I can't get things out of the top shelf.
You have to have a stool for everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Good point.
You literally have to carry a stool around with you for all of your life.
So we'll go through the short people. Glenn, you can go through the tall people article and explain it. But, like, this one's very true. People see you from a distance and confuse you for a kid. It's so true.
Yeah.
We're short enough, we hang around a bunch of teenagers, just like from the back, we look like teenagers. That's okay, but whatever. Jumps look extra big for us. There's a great picture of you standing in, oh God, a huge monstrosity with jumps that scares me.
That is not a breakaway log there. I don't care. That log doesn't even need to be tied down. It's about, she's standing below in a what is that called? What kind of jump is that called?
It's a tricaner,
yeah, which is big
on
the ground
jump.
with a big log over top. And that log must be 40 inches wide, right?
It's a tree.
And notice it's only jump number 3.
Yeah. Did you jump this fence? Was that on your course?
I did, but I did not make it all the way around the course. We made it about halfway, and then me and Spree both were like, let's get home.
So you did make it past number 3 then. You got to hate it when you're sharing. When you share jumps with higher levels, that always scares me. I'm like, why am I sharing this jump with prelim? I don't want to share anything with prelim.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's right next to an advanced jump. They're the same size.
Yeah,
the same size.
Doesn't seem fair at all. Some more is, you're always the one who has to get stuck schooling the naughty ponies. Yes, they're like, can you get on the pony? Because you're short. Thanks. You want to be a jockey? This one's very true.
I love
step
that
out
picture.
Of your truck. Which one? Her eating the ice cream?
Yes. With the beer in her hand. Ice cream and beer. Good combination there, Leslie.
Yeah, people are asking me if I ever thought of becoming a jockey, and you wrote, sure, let me just lose 30 pounds and get back to you. Awesome.
It's the other part of the jockey body type equation. Not only do you have to be short, which I've got that checked, you also have to be a teeny tiny little piece of lint on the horse's back.
They talk about people and horses being big boned. You never hear about thin boned, do you? Skinny boned.
No.
No. There's big boned people, but there's not skinny boned people.
No.
Oh yeah. Oh, this one's true. The next one, Jamie. You step out of a truck. I did this the other day. Somebody was driving an F-350, and it was I could not see who the driver was. It was at the gas station, and this was a big ass. It had the big tires, the whole thing. I mean, this is a big ass truck. And out of it gets about your size, this little horse girl. And I mean, she looked like she was 12, and she stood about Leslie's height at about 5 foot and a half an inch. And I was shocked. I took a double take. I did it, and I'm. You don't.
Every day
it.
Of my life. Every day. Every time I get out of the truck at the gas station, somebody cocks their head and makes some stupid remark like, "Did your old man let you drive that thing?"
Well, you are in Tennessee.
I'll never forget, Leslie, going truck shopping when I was trying to buy my first Dodge 2500. Was I went to the Dodge dealership and I was looking for used Dodge, so it was a car dealership, and I was like, yeah, I'd like to see if you guys have any Dodge Ram 2500. And he goes, well, what are you talking about, little girl? Let's go find you a nice little Tacoma.
Oh, did you kick him in the balls?
I hope he's doing business elsewhere.
You know what's funny is that my dad was with me, you know, and my dad goes, well, you just lost her business. She's mad now. And I'd already turned around and walked out. I was like, okay, done. I'll get you a nice little Tacoma. Who do you think you're talking to right now? You jerk face. Anyway, so that's a big problem. I feel bad. The good thing about being short is I've always found, Leslie, that you could, just like you can ride tall horses or short horses, you can also date tall guys and short guys.
Oh, yeah. My husband is, he's 6'4", I think.
Shut up. Are you serious?
No. We're hilarious looking together. I love it. Like,
do you
whatever.
Do you dance together?
What's that?
Do you dance together?
That's why I had to wear, those stripper heels when we got married.
You come up to his belly button.
Listen, Glenn, if Leslie Wiley's ever dancing, she's probably dancing on top of a speaker. And so she doesn't
exactly
need to be that height. It doesn't matter. She's on the speaker.
I got to give Glenn, you guys this one. I'm reading the tall one, and these are kind of lame, to be honest. I have to admit, I apologize to the person who wrote it, but they're kind of lame.
Well, they're just pale in comparison to our problems.
Yeah. Yeah, every horse is too small, you know, and you know, we have seen William Fox Pitt ride some horses that you go, okay, he's bending his knees more than usual. looking for new tall boots or half chaps. Well, you guys have the same problem because they don't make them short enough either. You know, you can't borrow or lend your clothing to anyone ever.
Poor thing.
You know, custom clothing, trail ride. You know, hitting your head thing, that is one thing. We do hit our heads a lot. No, these are pretty lame. I'm with you guys on this. They're pretty lame. Yeah, I'm with you guys. So what else happened over on Horse Nation?
Oh, goodness. What else have we had going on? Let's see. Oh, I know. So I'm always inspired to write things based on, you know, whatever is going on in my own horsey life at the moment. And the real pain in my butt right now is burrs. Every day the horse comes in the barn covered in burrs, and it takes 20 minutes to get all the burrs out of their mane and their tail before you can even start grooming the rest of them. So I asked, I think I put a post up on Facebook asking readers to send in their photos of horses, their horses' own burr hairdos, and boy, did we get some funny submissions.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at some of these. And all of us have done. If you lived anywhere, especially we lived in Pennsylvania, and we had burrs everywhere. And sometimes the tails looked like this and would take, some of these manes are awful. They're just one big burr.
Yeah. Yesterday I was in a rush, and so I didn't get all of the burrs out of Esprit's tail. And so we went out riding, and whenever he would swish his tail and it would hit him on his, you know, his leg or his hock or his flank or whatever. And then he would, buck because he thought that someone was, you know, it pinched or not pinched, but poked him, you know. He's like, quit. I'm just like, quit swishing your tail around and then we'll, you know, stop stabbing yourself with your burr tail.
Do you have a magic formula for getting them out there, Leslie? Do you have some magic spray or
No, I mean, Shoshin, you know, or anything sort of like that, Cowboy Magic, or WD-40 in a pinch, or Baby
I
Oil.
Yeah, I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have these in Georgia? Did you have burrs like this?
Yeah, but you know what? Not to be a little bit of a nitpicky, but you can actually knock them down by just mowing, you know, and brush hogging all of that kind of area. But no, it was definitely a problem along fence lines and pastures. But I think it was worse when I lived in Kentucky, Glenn.
Yeah.
The burrs.
Well, and especially if you're bored and you're not responsible for, you know, if you're bored and you're not responsible for the mowing, then you don't got much choice. This second picture here, oh, my God, oh, that's just awful. I feel bad for the horse. All of us have dealt with this, too, and it's just kind of a pain.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you end up with little bloody marks on your fingers because you get poked so many times trying to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't use gloves because then they get stuck in the gloves. So no matter what you do, you're going to get poked doing the burr thing.
First world problems. Yeah, we're full of them today, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Well, this was fun. Thank you so much for joining us again, Leslie. We appreciate it. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next week, horsenation.com.
Thanks, Have a great week, guys.
Bye, Leslie.
Well, there's a story or two I wanted to get to before we finish the show today. One of them is if you have bought anything on Briar Horse's website for the last, and I know we have a lot of Briar fans, Jamie's one of them. If you bought anything on their website, get this, for the last 18 months, your payment credit card information probably is at risk. An undisclosed number of people who made purchases on the Briar Horse's website between March 31st, 2013 and October 6th are being notified that their personal information, including payment credit card data, has been compromised by malware that was installed on the computer server hosting the website. They don't know how many victims, but they are in the process of notifying the people involved. What type of personal information did they get? Name, address, website, usernames, passwords, payment card account numbers, card expiration date, and the payment card security codes. And by the way, I didn't think that websites were even supposed to save. I didn't think they were supposed to be saved anywhere. They're supposed to be deleted immediately, but I don't know what happened there. But this malware got installed, and they just didn't know it happened. As soon as they find out, they fixed it. But they do now. They're responsible for notifying everybody involved. Whew, that's probably a good number of horse people, right there. That affects. Did you?
Yeah,
how about
absolutely.
You? Did you buy anything directly?
You know what? I don't know. I don't think so. Fortunately, I think you know what though? You better check because you gave me my birthday present last year, which was black caviar. So you better watch out.
Oh, you know what? I didn't think about that. Where did we get that? Did we? We might have bought
it.
We'll
have to go check. Yeah.
That
and you know what else, Jamie, do is find out what was my birthday present this year. I'm still waiting on that package to come in the mail. Mm-hmm. Okay, just checking. Sorry. Jennifer, go ahead.
Did you have a birthday?
I want to. Did you have a birthday?
Just kidding. You're too old for birthday presents now.
Yeah. Did Lucas buy anything on the Briar website? That's what I want to know. No, they do have an app. Lucas concentrates everything, all his buying, on Groupon. So Groupon is the place that he. Glenn, did you hear about this?
No.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I have a Groupon app and I do love Groupon and finding stuff around the city is great and deals are fabulous. So I downloaded the app and it saves your credit card number and I all of a sudden checked my email and I had purchased, check this out, a season pass to the Children's Museum and a barbecue dinner.
Because you love meat.
Because I love meat, number one. And, you know, why would I go buy a pass, season pass to the Children's Museum? So I thought it was pretty funny. So I called Groupon. I was like, I think my son has made some purchases to stop on my iPhone. And so they actually said, happens all the time, man. We'll refund your money. And then they taught me how to password protect my Groupon app. So we're all good.
It won't happen again.
That's funny. Not
yeah.
funny, but funny.
It was pretty funny. I'm like, why do I have $40 in barbecue coming to me? Really?
You know, you're lucky he didn't buy a cruise or something for like $3,000, you know?
Oh, my gosh. If he went to the Groupon Getaways, whatever.
Yeah.
Babe, we're going to Ireland.
I just spent $4,000 on a trip.
Yay. Yeah, my card would have got denied.
No, it would have been Ireland. It would have been like someplace really that you never wanted to go, right? That's where
yeah.
it would have been. Yeah.
You're spending 2 weeks in fabulous Morocco.
Hey, I saw a story. This is my funny line in an article that I found this morning. This was an article on Daily Mail, and I love Daily Mail, but sometimes their writing is done either by British people or by people who know nothing about what they're writing about, and you can tell when you read the article. Well, this one was that way. It's about Big Bang's Kaylee Cuoco, who we all know rides. She's a jumper. And it had this whole article about how she's riding and blah, blah, blah. It was like, and her horse's name is Thor. Well, she apparently went riding, and they had cameras there, and they were taking pictures of her. And this is the sentence in the article that got me. Are you ready? Not only did she ride circles on Thor, but Cuoco also fitted in some tricks, jumping the horse over barriers.
Wow, she jumped barriers. Was it like parade?
She rode in
street?
Circles and jumped barriers. And there's pictures of her jumping the jumps, you know, stadium jumps. But,
Oh my gosh. That's terrible. Hey, you know what else was a really good line, maybe not from a book, but was when you asked Richard the Mig Migliori to tell you how nice Rosie was, and he said, she's a good rider. Ah! That made my day. That was awesome.
That was not the politically correct answer I was expecting.
I know. That's why I loved it.
But it's completely true.
Take a note. You will not see Meg interviewing her this weekend at the Breeders' Cup.
Well, that would mean she would have to listen to our show and get mad at him. And she doesn't listen.
I know HRTV listens, so that's... I set him up to give the politically correct answer, and he didn't do it.
That must mean it's bad. That must mean it's really bad, dude.
I really wanted to have her on as a guest on the show, but, you know, hey, we found a Miss Something that was really good today. I'm thrilled. Miss Connecticut was a great guest. So I'm excited.
She did good.
Yeah.
And anytime you think about having Rosie on, you just call Miss Connecticut and say, I got to have one cute girl on the show. So, I mean, not that you don't already have two cute girls on the show between your wife
and
I.
I already do.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And you're both great. That's great on the show, so that's not a problem. Now it's
all
time
right,
to say goodbye.
Let's get out of here. I can't take
right,
it anymore.
Trouble. Yeah,
she's a really
all right. Thank you, everybody. Tomorrow we have on the show the safety episode. And, you know, of course, we have Lindsay from Riders for Helmets. We'll be back with a few heart-wrenching stories of people that use their helmets. So we're going to talk to a few of those people tomorrow. On the Horses in the Morning show. And then Wednesday morning, we'll be back with the Celebrity Trivia Challenge. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Stay neuter geld. I need a sound effect.
Great rider.
You need to cut that out. She's a great rider.
She's a great rider. A wonderful rider.
It's like as good
See,
as
there are some horses even God can't help.
Yes! Bye.